1420 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. For years, Google has been all about growth. Today, the company said it's laying off 12,000 people, about 6% of the workforce. CNET's Ian Schur says it's the latest tech company to pare down.
Analysts are saying this is more of a recalibration after a period of frenetic hiring than anything else. In many cases, the number of employees these companies have is still higher than when they entered the pandemic a few years ago.
Google's CEO says the layoffs are part of a rigorous review of company operations. The U.S. and other NATO countries are pledging another round of military aid for Ukraine. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland says the package includes what Ukraine's president has been begging for.
It includes hundreds of armored vehicles, including both the Bradley and Stryker armored fighting vehicles from U.S. stocks. Ukrainian leaders have been desperate to acquire additional armored vehicles as they prepare for what is expected to be a spring offensive to recover more territory seized by Russia since this war began in February.
Well, President Biden's downplayed the impact of the sensitive documents that turned up at his home and a former office. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
A special counsel who has been appointed by Attorney General Merrick Garland is gearing up for his investigation and should get underway by the end of the month. President Biden said that he is looking forward to fully cooperating with the special counsel, and he also said he's looking forward to, quote, getting this resolved quickly.
One person was wounded in a shooting at a Walmart in Evansville, Indiana, late last night. Police officer Taylor Maris says they learned more about the gunman who was shot and killed by authorities.
Once he was located inside, the threat was stopped, and the offender's name is Ronald Ray Mosley. He's 25 years old, and he was a previous employee of Walmart.
The first Native American woman in space ventured out today on her first spacewalk.
Okay, I'm ready for a check.
NASA astronaut Nicole Mann was joined by a Japanese colleague, another first-time spacewalker. Their job to install support struts and brackets for new solar panels that are going up there this summer. Tributes pouring in today for David Crosby.
Teach your children well.
Crosby, who died at 81, is hailed by Beach Boy Brian Wilson as an unbelievable talent. Roseanne Cash says he was influential. Crosby, a two-time Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member with the Byrds, and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 72 points, the S&P is up 25, the Nasdaq's up more than 100. This is CBS News.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL and get a quote today.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media Network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here's a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, January 23rd. In Wood County, the Central Wisconsin State Fair Subcommittee will meet at 5:30 p.m. at the fair office in Marshfield. In Portage County, the Judicial General Government Committee meeting will take place at 5:30 p.m. at the Portage County Courthouse. The City of Stevens Point Bicycle and Pedestrian Street Safety Commission will meet at 5 p.m. at the Community Room. Clark Street in Stevens Point will be partially closed on Monday. The Utility Department will close the left lane of Clark Street from Michigan Avenue to Cross Street from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Please slow down in this area to help keep utility crews safe. There will be a blood drive on Monday in Wisconsin Rapids. The Blood Center of North Central Wisconsin will be at the former East Junior High School Music Room from 2 to 7 p.m. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 26. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 16. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 26. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday and highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 23.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
We have free ad space that we want to give to small businesses across Wisconsin. Save the application date on Thursday, January 26th only. And you can find it on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can also find it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's a friendly competition inside the Civic Media network of our hosts. So for this giveaway, be sure to tell them that you heard it from As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinair, and Kristen Bry.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada. Wisconsin, hello Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha, Madison tonight. A very good morning to you, Jane Matinair.
And right back to you, Kristen Bry. So how is the home office set up?
It is great. Are we live streaming?
We are. Wow. Thank you for reminding me.
There you go. It's because I cannot start that from here. But we are in the home, the new home studio, with some soundproofing and fun background and a nice camera. So anyone who is watching the live stream today, feel free to give feedback on what the setup looks like. But we are having fun. Happy Friday. TGIF. We have a very fun show coming up today. Later in the show, we haven't had him on for a while, but in the last hour, Matt Miller is going to be here, the culture editor from On Milwaukee, and we're going to be talking about the Oscar nominations, which are coming next week, and also kind of where Jane and I ended yesterday, but didn't have enough time to get into. When it comes to movies that are very cerebral, are you allowed to just not like it without getting it? Because I feel like sometimes there's people like, well, you just didn't get it. That's why you didn't like it. It's like, no, maybe I just didn't like it. So we're going to talk about that with Matt in the third hour. But then in the second hour, Hans Dram, who is the president of Dram Corporation up in Manitowoc, is going to be here because they just did an expansion to their headquarters. And it's very, very sustainable. I'm so excited, like reading about, it's like 74% recyclable materials. Their carpet has like a zero carbon footprint. There's a bunch of solar panels. And so like talking to him about one, how hard it was, if it was harder or easier to do it that way, if it was more or less expensive to do it that way, and like what other companies can take from it to potentially have their expansions and new buildings follow the same footprint. But to start, I mean, that's kind of as we talk about the companies that are making choices to do their part when it comes to climate change. I think we're all feeling, it doesn't take like a scientist or a meteorologist to, you know, recognize that Wisconsin winters are feeling a little warmer.
It's not supposed to be like this.
I mean, it's, you know, I've only been back for This is, I got back March 2020. So this is technically my third winter. And 2020 into 2021, we had a ton of snow. Last winter didn't feel like it was severe, but it felt long. Like, I feel like it took forever. Like, there was no spring. It just took forever to actually feel sunny and warm. And, you know, besides Christmas, this month has been fine.
Yeah. It's
this month has felt like San Francisco in January, if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah. And again, it's a lovely break and nobody wants it to be 30 below, but there are ramifications because of this. I told you,
yes.
I know I told you earlier, I have snapdragons now that overwinter. That shouldn't happen. They're annuals. They're not perennials.
So that's a plant.
It's a plant. It's a snapdragon is a flower.
It's not a pet.
No. You could name something snapdragon, but no, a snapdragon is a flower, and the seeds fall off, and then they're supposed to die. And I have a little garden now of snapdragons that keep coming back, which is lovely, but this should not happen here.
Yes. And, you know, I think to a certain extent, when we talk about population and getting people to move to Wisconsin, having not as a severe winter is maybe a plus, but ultimately what this is doing to the ecosystem, like, it's supposed to get cold. And yesterday, there was an article in Caitlin Luby wrote an article about how little ice there is on Lake Michigan right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
And there was also, even before that, that I had bookmarked to come back to, was an article from PBS from Nathan Desnin, and kind of saying the same thing. Climate change is warming Wisconsin winters faster than other seasons. And so in Milwaukee and Green Bay have experienced two of the five fastest warming winters in major cities across America.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not even just, comparatively to ourselves, it's warmer. It's like we're warming faster than almost any other cities in the last half century. And it's warming by about 6 degrees. It's been warming about 6 degrees Fahrenheit on average. And so, you know, besides lamenting for the fishermen, the ice fishers who are, maybe, and it makes me think of thinking about Caitlin's article, what's it like in the three lakes in Madison for Wingrove, Mendota, and Monona? Like, are those frozen over? Rivers obviously don't freeze over unless it's really cold, but like the bodies of water all across the state, how many of them are also not frozen over right now? Because it sounds like there's a lot of ramifications with how there's only 3% of the Great Lakes. So this is all of them, has ice as of last Friday.
And didn't she also include in that article, Kristen, that the storm that Buffalo just got creamed with, one of the reasons why it was so bad is because there was no ice to break the waves, which allowed them to just wash all over these people. It was a nightmare.
What I understand is because the warmer it is, the more moisture there's in the air. So if you think about evaporation and how we get precipitation, being rain or snow, it's because there's moisture in the air that's going up to the clouds. And so having colder temperatures and ice decreases the amount of moisture in the air. And so, I mean, it's kind of funny to read that as like the lake effect that snowfalls, like what happened in Buffalo, because at least in Milwaukee and Waukesha, there's certainly no snow on the ground yesterday. How much snow did the rest of the state get yesterday? Did you see anything?
I think it was, it might've been 6 inches, possibly, you know, middle of the state and north.
But not terrible? Is that considered terrible?
I don't think six is terrible.
No.
Nah.
So it's obviously there's can be more snow. It's also dramatically impacting ecosystems. And so reading this, especially because we started earlier in the week talking about PFAS in the Great Lakes and how much eating one serving of freshwater fish right now is as bad as drinking contaminated PFAS water for a month. So not a great week for fish, apparently.
It's been a down week for fish.
Not great. And so, you know, so this is indication of, I'm not trying to laugh, the climate shifting and a reflective of like the gradual trend that we've seen on the Great Lakes and in Wisconsin, like year over year. And I saw this, and I don't like when it's something like this, it's like, you always just feel helpless because you're like, what do I do to keep the winters from getting as cold as they should be? But I saw this a couple weeks ago as far as this is, it's expensive to address climate change, but it's also expensive not to. Because I saw this from NPR like a week ago, and the headline was, extreme weather fueled by climate change cost the U.S. $165 billion in 2022 alone.
And that, what does that encompass?
So if you think about it, there was 18 separate disasters in 2022 in America, and the damages exceeded $1 billion. Where the damages in each of those 18 instances was over $1 billion. So it's like in Florida, there was the hurricane.
Right.
There was catastrophic flooding in eastern Kentucky.
And California.
There's crippling heat waves. Well, that was this year.
Oh, right.
This is just talking about last year.
Sorry.
Crippling heat waves in the Northeast and the West, a mega drought. And so it's just like thing after thing. And it costs a lot of money to fix the towns and cities that just get wrecked by this. And so it's just like, at what point for people who are fiscally conservative, the trade-off of how much it costs us to fix things when they go bad, then, and the trade-off of changing how we do things, whether like, and like, obviously both are expensive, and I don't know the numbers enough to know what the trade-off is, but $165 billion is not nothing, especially as we are talking about what can we cut? Yeah. What can we cut so we don't hit the debt ceiling?
Right. Well, and you make a very good point. When I think about some of the communities in Florida that were devastated last year, will they ever come back? I mean, some of those places, there's that one little place that was almost completely wiped off the map.
Sanibel? Did I say that right?
Near Sanibel. And do you rebuild?
Because it was the bridge. The bridge to get there was
gone.
Totally ruined.
And so do you keep rebuilding in these places? This seems bad. Do you keep developing along waterfronts? This seems unwise.
Well, it's interesting, and I think it probably depends on what the political will and the people who frequent those places want to invest in. Because I remember, what was it, 2016 or 2017, when Hurricane Maria just devastated Puerto Rico and a lot of the Caribbean. Oh, that was 2018. Because I remember, you know, St. Bart's, which is a very bougie, expensive island.
Yeah.
Also got totally demolished. And so did St. Martin, which was next to it. And the two, I've been to both. And one is a Dutch colony, and the other one was French. And one is much richer than the other. And I think right now, like, St. Bart's was built back pretty quickly because there was a lot of very wealthy people who like going to St. Bart's. And so the political will and the financial will to fix it was there, despite there's nothing to say that it's not going to get smashed by a hurricane again, but they wanted it back. Right. And so I think it just comes down to like, what do people want to spend their money on? And so, all right, well, coming up next, remember that time that Wisconsin was almost like Texas? We're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Give me the news, I got a bad case of loving you. Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Progressive Talk from Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We were talking about the unusually warm January, and while it feels good in the short term, maybe not so good in the long term. And we got Jack on the line. Jack, what do you have to say?
Well, according to information from NASA that studies climate change, climate-related weather events, And this, I'm sure, doesn't cost, counting the human cost, but they've cost something between $2 and $3 trillion already. And this is just the beginning. If we don't do something about this pretty soon, it's going to get seriously expensive. And there really is a way we can finance this, and it's not very hard to do. If you recall what happened last spring with gasoline prices and the huge, huge profits oil companies made, there's a little thing. I own stock in one of those companies, inherited from my dad. And there's a little thing that it's a tax break. As a matter of fact, it's been called the biggest tax break in history that oil companies get. It's called the mineral depletion allowance. And basically, for every barrel of oil they pump out of the ground, they get a tax break instead of having to pay a royalty on it. If we were to simply take that money and transfer it into putting into production and promotion of electric vehicles and electrification and home solar panels, things like that, we could solve this problem, and we could probably solve it within a decade. But it's going to take, people like Manchin aren't going to like it because they've been bought off. They have huge donors from the oil and coal industries. So it's going to be very difficult to do politically. But we have the way. We can do it.
And it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting too that these are some in this party say that it's all about the children and it's all about the future of our children and our children. Except they won't be able to breathe or drink the water or any of that stuff. But otherwise, everything is for the kids.
You mean because, like, with, like, the deficit?
Yeah.
When they're like, oh, they're going to inherit so much debt as the country. But it's like, we're also just going to ruin the earth for them, too.
Poison the planet and it'll all be fine.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call, Jack. That's an interesting idea that he proposed as far as that. I wonder if there's been any... I've never heard of a politician proposing that, which doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It's just that I didn't hear about it. But speaking of energy companies... So remember... When, it was actually cold, which is not what it is right now in January, but a month ago at Christmas, and We Energies
became Ebenezer Scrooge.
And they sent out that little message, didn't they?
Yes, on December 23rd, they sent a message asking that you crank down your thermostat to conserve natural gas on one of the coldest nights of, well, probably one of the coldest nights of this year, but also one of the coldest nights in the last couple years. And then by, it was a Christmas miracle, and by the morning, everything was resolved, apparently. And so Carl Ebert over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a bit of a deep dive on what happened. And really, we were pretty close to having a meltdown the same way Texas did in 2021.
Seriously.
And we may have been, as Wisconsinites, we might have been a little bit more prepared because we know cold,
Yeah, we got lots of layers.
But still, I mean, but it was also colder here than it was in Texas at that point. But everything's relative, but still the power grid and what was happening there, we came really close to. So basically, the emergency was triggered when there was a pipeline, Guardian Pipeline LLC, which is the company that operates the largest pipeline that feeds We Energies. And they had to dramatically cut the utility supply because there was a problem somewhere in Illinois at like a compression station. And 30% of the gas on this, the biggest pipeline, was just like not available. And so luckily, it's one thing because I feel like we complain about We Energies a lot, but it sounds like they really thankfully had protocol and like emergency plan, because they were able to stabilize it before the worst case scenario, which would have been a gas service shutdown on a night where it was like the closest it's been, like the coldest it's been in 3 years.
Wow.
And Christmas.
Yeah.
And so in the article, the executive vice president at We Energies said, "We've never seen an interstate pipeline failure like this, but we have thought about these things a lot." And so had it gotten to the point where We Energies needed to cut off service, customers would have been without service for days or weeks. And once gas service is lost, utility workers need to go door to door to restore service.
Oh, wow. That's,
and you can imagine how long that would take.
That's terrifying.
Isn't that really scary?
Yes.
And so obviously that didn't happen. And like, so hats off to both We Energies for, you know, sending that message, and also hats off to enough customers that complied, because I think there's certainly some people who probably got that message, especially after knowing that their utility bill was going up, that wanted to give like a middle finger to We Energies and say, "I'm not doing that."
In fact, but, I'm going up to 75.
Yeah, I'm going to put it up even more. And, but thankfully, so if you were one of the people that thought of the whole instead of just yourself, you can thank yourself. You can give yourself a pat on the back for being part of the reason that everyone's Christmas wasn't ruined. Jeez. But yeah, that's good to know that didn't happen. But all right, well, coming up next, did you know that there is a $1 trillion coin just waiting to be minted? It's there. It could happen. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The show.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hello, DoorWorks. This is Kathy.
I need to talk to Doorman.
One moment, please.
Doorman here. How can I help?
Doorman, my garage door is so old and crappy looking. I need a new door and opener.
All done, ma'am.
Wow, so quick. I'm impressed.
It was an open and closed case. You get it?
Oh, Doorman, you're my hero.
Call DoorWorks today, 424-5777.
Here's to Wisconsin winter traditions, celebrated year after year.
Hey, check this out.
To lighting up a frosty night with fireworks at Fish Creek Winterfest. Here's to cheering 8,000 skiers across the finish line at the American Birdie Biner in Hayward. And to snow sculpting magic at Winterfest in Lake Geneva. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. I'd like to take a quick 30 seconds and talk to you about the most important part of a Cleary building, the foundation. Without it, you won't be able to stand the test of time. At Cleary, our foundation is made up of some truly amazing people. Our Cleary family rises to the challenge every day, and it shows when that shamrock is applied. So if you are looking for a new challenge in our all-new corporate office or out on the construction site, join the Cleary family today by clicking on careers@clearybuilding.com.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Winter Farmers Market will be this Saturday at the Moravian Church from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Located at 310 First Avenue South, the Winter Market will be in the church basement. Vendors vary from week to week, so stop down and see what's on display. There's always room for more vendors. Visit their Facebook page, Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market, for more information. Wisconsin voters will have their say on a proposed state constitutional amendment to give judges more discretion when setting bail for dangerous defendants. The state assembly gave final approval to the ballot measure yesterday. Lawmakers are also putting an advisory question on state ballots about requirements for unemployment recipients, which are already law. In sports, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers says he won't be a part of the rebuild in Green Bay. He tells the Pat McAfee podcast this week he needs time to think about his future. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 26. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 16. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 26. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
For this show, or you have something else to do, we don't blame you, but you can always go back and listen to the parts that you missed as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. You can also subscribe there while you're there.
Oh, do that.
And you can always, what?
Do that. Subscribe.
Yeah, do that.
Subscribe.
And you can always join the conversation at 844-967-2789. So yesterday we talked about, we crashed into our debt ceiling, mm-hmm. at $31.4 trillion. And now we, as the public, wait to see how negotiations will go, how close we will get to June and looming disaster. But
we didn't really talk about as much what we're doing to stave off disaster until then. And so the Treasury Department, Janet Yellen, is now doing what is called extraordinary measures, which I guess is like an actual thing that has a definition.
It's a procedure, right?
It's a procedure. It's not just a descriptor. It's like, actually, it's like, all right, now we're moving into this thing that is called extraordinary measures rather than, you know.
Yikes.
Yes. And so
we're screwed.
Yes. Or just, you know, titling something else. Like, this is bad. And so it's deep cut accounting moves that allow the Treasury to continue making payments. So it includes suspending reinvestments into government funds for retired federal employees, such as Civil Service Retirement and Disability Fund. It's selling existing investments in those funds to free up more outstanding debt. And I guess the measures aren't necessarily ordinary, but they're also not necessarily that extra either, because we've done it 12 times since 1985.
Really? We've gone into this extraordinary measures 12 mm-hmm. times.
And including in 2021, we did this as well, apparently. So we've done it before. We'll likely do it again. But it's I saw when I was reading this, I saw a great analogy of this is basically like chugging water after you eat a habanero pepper or something really hot, where it's like, drink milk, not water, because the pain will come back. And it's only temporarily fixed because this is only gonna last till June. And so 5 months, you think they could do this in 5 months?
They're gonna they've done it before, so apparently it's doable.
But with this, I don't know. Because it goes back to what I was saying before. It's like, who owns this if it gets really bad? Which political party owns this if we don't get there?
Well, it's the Republicans. Isn't it? I mean,
obviously you and I think that, and there's a lot of people who think that. But is there a way that they're going to spin it and be like, well, the White House and Democrats didn't negotiate either. And so if they're, because that's basically what I understand this is, people aren't willing to, like, there's not a lot of movement so far of what's going to be the pull and tug, give and take. That's what I meant. Give and take.
Push and pull.
Pull and tug. That feels dirty for some reason. That's not what I meant to say.
It was a little innuendo-ish.
Yes. Yes. It was. I was like, this is coming out of my mouth, but I don't think this is what I mean.
Give and take. I get your point, but I also think that when this has happened in the past, that has not been the takeaway from the American people. When national parks shut down, when civil service employees aren't getting paid, they look to the people who said, no, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling, which we've done over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. And I think if the Democrats come back with Rick Scott's plan, which was to gut Social Security and Medicare and throw that at them and don't let up.
But that also feels like a losing battle, because there's so many people who rely on that and so many people who vote who rely on that. And after this segment, we're going to talk about a similar thing that's happening in France when it comes to retirement and retirement age and pensions, that I don't know if it would happen here or not. But one thing that has been thrown out, it's not really a conspiracy. It's like it's a theory. I don't think there's conspiracy around it. It's just a theory. And so we've never defaulted. It could happen. It might not happen. But sometime this week, Janet Yellen came out and said what she's not going to do, which is what is not in the extraordinary measures, is she does not intend on minting a platinum coin that is worth $1 trillion.
That was actually floated as an idea.
It has been floating around. This concept has been floating around since for the last 10 years.
To have a trillion dollar coin.
So I didn't hear about this until it kind of got reintroduced this week as I was researching more about the debt ceiling. So it's the platinum coin idea, or hashtag mint the coin. And there's some people who are really into this. And so it started in a 1997 law intended to help the mint make money off of coin collectors. And so it gives the Treasury, Treasury Secretary, the power to mint platinum coins of any denomination for any reason. So when commenters discovered this law during the 2011 and 2013 debt ceiling battles, they realized that this power could offer a way to sidestep the legal cap Congress places on the federal government's borrowing. And so they, so it's legal, I guess. I mean, they're not, she said they're not going to do this. But basically, how it would work is instead of issuing new debt and running afoul of the debt ceiling, the Treasury Secretary could simply fund the government by minting platinum coins. And so there's a bunch of people who've like promoted this idea who are not just bros on the internet. And so former U.S. Mint Director Philip Deal agreed it would work. Influential voices like financial journalist Joe Weisenthal and New York Times columnist Paul Krugman have also promoted this idea. And it, but I guess like there, it, I don't know if you would want to describe him as a bro, but reading this article, so this is from Vox, I found, and Dylan Matthews interviewed this guy who I guess it originally came from. So it was like, it was brought to attention to all these influential financial people by a blog commenter named Beowulf, which is telling in of itself, right?
First name, I'm sure.
I'm sure. So they conceived of the idea in a short comment on financier Warren Mosler's blog post in 2010. And this is what it said. Curiously enough, Congress has already delegated to the Treasury all the signatory power authority it needs to mint a $1 trillion coin. The catch is it's got to be made of platinum. So it has to be made of a certain type of metal. And he said, ditto the balls of any president who would try this. So for a 1 ounce coin, the Treasury could net $999 billion, one, all the other numbers into that. So he goes on to interview this guy, and I'm not going to read the transcript of that, but you can go check it out. It's on Vox by Dylan Matthews. And I mean, wouldn't that just be nice if we could just print a coin and just be like, here you go. Everything's good now, right? We're cool. Great.
I'm still confused. So the U.S. government makes this coin. They don't sell it to someone.
No, they don't. I don't think so. I think they just use it to pay off the debt.
So it's protected. So it's monopoly money. We invented this thing and we've assigned this value to it, even though there's nothing backing it up. And so now we're good.
This just goes back to like money is not real.
No kidding.
Like, and granted, they're not doing this, but it's just an idea that floats around that the fact that like someone like Paul Krugman, who I know some people like, some people don't, but you know, people who dedicate their lives to understanding markets and are like political finances are like, yeah, I mean,
we can do it.
And I don't know what that would end up meaning for inflation, but it's sometimes where it's just the fact that this is even legal or could happen makes me think like, what is money? When we talk about how expensive things are and our deficit and our debt ceiling and the budget and how much things cost, it's like, and it's in the trillions and trillions of dollars where a not money person, like a not number person like me, my eyes glaze over. It's like, it can't even fathom how much money that is at a certain point.
Yeah, I'm right there with like, you.
When it can just, it could just be a race like that. What does any of this mean?
All I can think of, though, because Alexander Hamilton was the one who set up our banking system, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What would he think?
I mean, I saw the musical. I saw the musical Hamilton. Like, that's how I understood it.
That's my takeaway. But I what would his takeaway be from something like that? That we're just going to invent this thing and pretend it's valuable, and then we'll all go on our merry way. This doesn't seem responsible or sustainable. But again,
well,
this is math, and so I should probably not comment on anything mathematical at all.
Yes, and we're not doing it. So this is all a hypothetical that I'm talking about, mostly because I feel like it's funny, and it's kind of a funny Friday talk. I'm also like, when you look at pictures of Janet Yellen and like how serious she looks, like she looks like the like she could play Trunchbull. Is that the in Matilda? You never seen Matilda?
No.
It's the principal Trunchbull. I think I'm saying, I forget if I'm saying her name right, but she's like a domineering,
very severe,
mean, very severe. And I have no idea if Janet Yellen or not is or not, but she doesn't look like someone who is necessarily like jokes around
or a pushover either.
Or a pushover. And so I think she refers to this apparently as a gimmick. And so as long as she's in charge, we're not really at risk of this.
Gonna do
but
that. Good.
The fact that there are people who promote this, I think, is very funny.
When you first started talking about it, I thought this was something that you could actually buy. And if you were a dude bro, wouldn't that be like the biggest letdown in the world if you had $1 trillion and all you had was this puny little coin? It's like, ew, look at my coin. Ew.
And like, how do you cash that in to then go buy something with it? You're like, right. Well, I got this 1 ounce coin.
Can you make change?
When I buy my Bugatti with it, can you give me change for this $1 trillion coin and other $1 billion coins? Like, how does that work? So if you think this would be a good idea, if you've heard of this before, and if you think that this could actually work, and Janet Yellen should consider this, 844-967-2789. It seems ludicrous to me, but what do I know? I do like the idea of asking for change.
I do too. I think that's priceless.
Oh, here you go. Like when you buy a house or something, like you got change for this? Right. Like go to the bank. Well, one thing that gets thrown around as far as what our solution to this could be is talking about Social Security and people who are retiring. And France is also having a similar issue. So when we come back, you know, maybe we'll take some lessons from the French. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Monkey, haven't you always wanted a monkey? If I had $1 million, I'd buy your love.
Chicken say.
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf.
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin. What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe. Giraffe. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Fix for Progressive Talk, from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Born on strike till my baby comes back. Ooh, 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 ooh. All night parties and imitations.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. This is Friday, TGIF. And quick reminder that we're less than a week away from the $1 million ad giveaway. So if you are a business in Wisconsin and you think you could benefit from some free advertising across our expanding empire of radio stations in Wisconsin, we want to help you. Let us help you. And so on Thursday, January 26th, only starting at 9 a.m., if you go to civicmedia.us/million, all you have to do is answer a couple questions and apply. And our sales team will help you come up with ad campaigns that will air across either on one local station, if you have, there's only one region you want to reach, but even across all of our regions, which basically covers all of Wisconsin yep. at this point, which is wild.
It's really exciting.
And it's super exciting. And so mark your calendars, 9 a.m. Thursday, January 26th, this coming Thursday, civicmedia.us/million. But once you get there, you got to remember, Jane and Kristen sent you.
We'd really appreciate that.
As Goes Wisconsin sent you.
Yes,
we'd appreciate that. And even if you listen to some of the other shows and you're hearing some of the other hosts.
And we love them.
We all know. We love them.
We do. We love them.
But we know you love us the most. And so you want to give us credit for sending you there.
It's a loyalty test.
We're going to be checking. We're going to be checking. So mark your calendars now. So striking. The French love to strike. Before we get into the story, this was 2016. I went to Paris by myself, which was a great trip. And it was very fun to do. It's one of my few, like, not work, just solo vacations. Highly recommend. And I'm going to butcher all these names because I never, as many French lessons as I took, it did, the accent and the pronunciation did not stick, but I was on the
Champs-Élysées.
Thank you. At night. And there was like kind of a protest, kind of a party, but the streets were just full of people with picket signs, but there was music and there was dancing. And I was like, what's going on? They're like, oh, this is a protest for some kind of train something. I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but I was like, and that was my first exposure to the French really embrace protest. And now, yesterday, more than 1 million French people, which as a proportion of their population is a lot, protested President Emmanuel Macron's controversial plan to raise the country's minimum retirement age from 62 to 64, which, you know, let's just acknowledge it's even 64 is lower than it is here.
Yes.
But for them, you know, the French love their leisure.
They do.
And they are not happy about this. So many workers went on strike, resulting in the closing of schools and the cancellation of transit routes, the cancellation of flights. But like, this is not just this protest is not going to end it because, there's going to be another day of strikes on January 31st. But Macron is saying that lifting the retirement age is necessary to keep the country's pension fund from drying up. And I think like there's two things that pop up for me when I think about this story is, you know, we protest, but I don't feel like we protest like the French protest.
They do it with a little more panache.
And
Is it that they're more organized? Or, you know, like certain causes certainly protest and go on strike. But like, have we ever done something collectively that, you know, shut down schools and transit and flights?
They must have far more and far stronger labor unions than we do in France.
Maybe. I don't know. But it just... I was just trying to think of like, is getting a million people. And like, you know, when we did, like I said earlier this week about the Women's March in 2017, so January 2017, you know, across the, I mean, there was 700,000 people just in DC. So I think across the country, certainly more than a million people marched that day, but it wasn't disruptive as far as shutting down schools, right, or transit. And so I'm trying to think of anything that's ever collectively happened. And granted, our country's a lot bigger. I mean, I think they have 70 some million people compared to our 365 million, I think. I'm kind of, it's around that. But I was trying to think as I read this, like, have there been a collective movement big enough to cause that much disruption? I mean, I guess kind of had the train strike actually gone through and the drain, like the negotiations that was happening at near the end of 2022, that would have been really disruptive. But like, government just kind of shut that down. It was like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah, not happening.
But my other question is, as they're talking about ways to alter Social Security, do you think that's on the table here of changing it from like 65 to 68, 65 to 70? And is that what you've heard? Is that how they would potentially change it? It's just like, you got to work longer.
Yes. And from what I understand, and I'm going to try and track someone down who can really break this down for us, there are a whole bunch of different categories within Social Security. And so It would have wide-ranging effects, and I think my retirement age right now is already 67. If I want my full benefits, I would have to wait until 67, not even 65.
Which you're going to, because you're going to be with me for another 4 years.
Naturally, at least until I'm 100. But I mean,
I'm keeping you young, Dave.
And that's not, you're not inaccurate about that. However... Do we want everybody work until they're 75? Seriously?
Well, are there jobs that people... Because think about the ageism that happens in so many different industries. I mean, just go into politics, then maybe you're going to be fine because we got plenty of 75-year-olds in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, for other industries, as people get older and they don't get promoted or they can't switch jobs because people are like, well, how long are you even going to be here? And you can't learn new technology. And like a lot of the ageism that happens, it's like... Are industries even going to allow people who have to keep working the opportunities that like provide a living wage? Like, it's just,
no,
it's
like we're all doomed to be door greeters somewhere into our 80s, which is really attractive to me.
You wouldn't like to, you know, I sat when we went to Kohler and the American Club, whatever, that's in September, there was a very sweet greeter at the museum where they have like the display room and then the museum's in the basement where I learned all about the American Club and how it was originally built for immigrants and everything. And he was very sweet and was very talkative. Yes.
Well, you that's, tell more this of a, is... that's more of a docent kind of spot. I'd be a good docent. I don't think I'd be a good greeter. Don't come in my store with attitude. We're going to have problems.
All right. Well, we have the top of the hour news coming up. And after that, call Scooby-Doo and the gang, because we got a real who's done it on our hands.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.